Blog Talk Radio.
Show. We are rocking and rolling, rolling and rocking. That's how we do it up out here on the West Coast, because I do the most. You got your host, Dr. Dr. Period. Revolutionary freedom fighter Harris here on mic today, this morning. And we're just here coming to you again. We came at you last night with Dr. Kennedy all the way, and Aline all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Look at the technology we have, y'all, today. Dr. King Kennedy, colleague of mine, was in Atlanta, Georgia last night at 11 o'clock. And we were here in Mississippi, Fresno, me and Aline. I'm here at the studio at Free AME Ministries here, Social Justice Ministry here in the San Joaquin Valley. And we just want to give a shout out to all of our families, all across the country. We want to give us, you know, I'm going to say a shout out to all of our ancestors who have come before me, fighting a good fight. A lot of them lost their lives coming from Africa to America. A lot of them was thrown overboard here coming to America. And so, you know, Kwanzaa, we're going to be talking about today. We have a special guest here all the way from Brooklyn, New York, Brooklyn, on the other side of the world, which is like 12 degrees over there. Well, that's their problem, not mine, but it's 39 degrees in Mississippi. So it's still cold, but not cold like in New York, Brooklyn. But, you know, we just thank our family over there and for doing all the good work. You know, we have to admit we got issues in every state, every city across the country, but we're just here to build consciousness. We're here to build awareness. We're here to collaborate. We're here to partner. We're also here to really be motivated to take more ownership of who we are, what our ancestors have built. And, you know, it's a lot of work. A lot of people is not committed to the movement. A lot of people just want to, you know, ride the roller coaster of work that other folks do. And if that's the type of person you are, you know, I'm not going to knock you. You know, you just don't come in my war room. But anyway, we just want to thank everyone for this day here. I believe in the Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad. I'm not going to get churchy on y'all today, I promise. But anyway, we're here at Free AME right here on the Golden West Side of Fresno. We put together a first-class Kwanzaa event here, program for Friday and Saturday. We have also created a museum here in our sanctuary and as well as our social hall. Still have more work to do before Friday and Saturday, but we're doing it. We're doing it. And they brought in the food last night. The Kwanzaa set is set up here. One of the things that I told, for those of you who are listening, you can call in to the show, 516-453-9086. 516-453-9086. Talk to your host, Dr. Harris, here. You all know I'm a civil rights leader. I do a lot of heavy lifting here in Fresno as well as across the country. I do speak truth to power. And so, you know, there's been a lot of time put into this. And we hope that it's appreciated from the community, appreciated for those around the world, those who have come on our show. We just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart. If you look at the Facebook, you'll see that there's a lot of rotating pictures that is that's rotating. And they're beautiful pictures, some pictures of me and the speaker today, and, you know, some local people, and also some of our ancestors, et cetera. And so we just want to be able to share knowledge with our people anywhere. We're all connected somehow, some way. And it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, maybe a little later, I'll walk around with the Facebook Live, but I want to make sure that when I do that, I'll let you know so that you all, the speaker will not be speaking and you can't hear. So I apologize for that. That was brought to my attention today. And so we'll move forward. Again, thank our freedom fighters from the West Coast to the East Coast, even in the Caribbean, even in the islands. A lot of our people, from my research, everybody do their own research, were taken to different islands in the Caribbean and were sold and were lynched and murdered and raped and all that stuff. And so, you know, at the age of 52, I'm making myself read an old saying, if you want to hide something from a Negro, put it in a book. And so a book that time was supposed to scare us, intimidate us. But as Malcolm X said, the worst thing that the white man could have done was let me read his history book. And so we have to understand knowledge is power. Power is knowledge. And we have to use our two eyes. Now, listen, I say it, two eyes, because you can see, but you can see that we even have people in our culture here, that could not see people like Ray Charles. And he was one of the best singers, you know, that we had. Stevie Wonder couldn't see. So, you know, I think that this is seeing is good, but I think it has a lot to do with what's in the heart, what's in, you know, your DNA for the struggle. And so, you know, as I was reading or listening to Ray Charles. I didn't even know that Elvis Presley had stole a lot of our music from black folk and became famous. And I was like, wow. And so, you know, listen, I'm going to have a show before this is over with about inventions and things like that, about everything pretty much you see black folks have invented it, but we haven't profited from it. And so that's credit to our ancestors, credit to us. We know that a lot of things that we, our ancestors, have built in this country has been exploited, and other nationalities have been making money off what we have contributed to this country. And so, you know, just again, want to say thank you. Spread the word about our event on the 30th. 31st, Friday and Saturday. I believe Saturday starts at 1 o'clock and ends at 3 or 4. And I believe that Friday starts at 6 p.m. We will be having another dress rehearsal of the fashion show and the Soul Train. Y'all remember Soul Train back in the 70s? And y'all act like y'all look at me like deer head. We know most Soul Train. Yes, we're going to have the Soul Train here at Free AME. I'm the pastor. I said it. If you don't like it, we can go out in the alley and fuck if you want to. But I'm just saying, we're going to have fun with this thing, y'all. We got to have fun with this, because once we, you know, come dressed to impress. And, you know, all I can tell you is that everybody's going to be looking beautiful. We're going to take a couple of rolls out the aisle, and we're going to do this thing, y'all. And listen, they told me, all right, they said, Pastor, now you the one wanted us to do the Soul Train, and you over there by the soundboard, and you have to come out here and practice. Listen, I said, okay. I walked through the Soul Train line, and I started doing the Fred Sanford. And I tell you, everybody fell out laughing. They said, oh, Lord, Pastor, you don't know how to dance, do you? I said, well, I know how to do the Fred Sanford. So. But anyway, that's my way of dancing. It was just, but it's all for fun, you know. We got to laugh sometimes, you know, because it's like we deal with so much stuff every day, and it's like trying to get someone to smile and get someone to laugh, you know, that's healthy for us. You know, listening to poetry, listening to music, listening to, you know, and I'm not against music. You know, we play music here. We play respectable music, right? You know, we're not playing, you know, Drop It Like It's Hot and all this stuff. No, we don't do that. Everything has a time and place. And so time and place will cause us to have fun, and that's what we're going to do. And, again, I just thank everybody for tuning in. And, wow, y'all ready for the speaker of today? Woo! Is y'all ready for the speaker of today? Woo! All right, I'm going to mess with y'all right now. Watch this real quick. I'm going to play with y'all right now. Watch this. Watch this. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun real quick, y'all. Give me a second. I told y'all I like to have fun. Here we go.
Clap your
ready I can't hear y'all. Are y'all ready for the speaker of the hour? I present the speaker of the hour. I told y'all we're going to have some fun.
Good afternoon and greetings in the spirit of Ujima. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your collective work and responsibility.
You are most welcome.
How are you?
You are most welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. And, I just made a note in my journal when I'm at the point where I can hire a hype man. I got you at the top of the list. Yeah, energy is exactly what any artist needs.
All right. Well,
so let me congratulate you on your Kwanzaa presentation, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. I'm excited about the things that are going on in Fresno, and I got jealous with the sunny weather, but then you talked about the Soul Train line, and I started to look up flights.
Looking up what?
I started to look at flights.
Why?
Sunny weather, soul food, and the soul train line. I'm all for it. I am all for it.
That's part of our culture, part of our community.
Indeed, but we'll be celebrating here with you in Brooklyn for sure.
Yes. So my cousin had actually Kanzi had introduced me to you, and she was saying that, she said, cousin, she said, I want to introduce you to someone that does the same type of work you do. And she'd be out there in the streets, and she sent me some videos of you, right? And you was out there in the streets, and you were out there, I don't know if it was a megaphone or microphone or something, and I forget what you were doing, but it was a protest or something, and you were throwing down, man. I'm like, whoa, I don't see too many women throwing down. Like, that is always guys, but I'm like, whoa, this is different, And you was out speaking truth to power and had group folks around you. I'm like, man, this is cool. And it was just exciting to see a sister, really out there in the trenches, I think all of us have our own space and our own place that, we do what we do. But you are out there. I'm like, whoa. And it was good. And then to see you do your poetry and all of that stuff. I mean, you're just a rounded person, that really, really making a change in this 21st century going into the 30th century. And you're a catalyst of the ancestors, as well as myself, and we're just trying to, pave the way for the next generation, And so I'm gonna give the floor to you. You come at it however you want to come at it, and you're not censored on Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. You say it, you own it, and that's how we roll it.
Let me say thank you, and I receive all that you just said. I do. Thank you very much. So, it's a war, and we all got to weapon of choice, and mine is the pen. And right. I use my voice where I've been given a voice, so I use my voice where I know it's productive or it's making a change or somebody's receiving the message. And that's pretty much my freedom fight, right? Because I don't, you said a megaphone. It was a microphone. I think that's my power source. Yeah, it's a microphone. The microphone is my power source. That's one. Once I'm plugged into the mic, then the message, it translates. That's my belief.
Right.
That's my Kuji Chakalia.
All right, now. Watch yourself.
Yeah. So I want to jump into, because we got seven principles, and my set is set up to address or give a unique view of each principle. So I just want to start with Umoja, which is our first principle and translates to the word unity. But as a poet, I have I tend to see things differently. So unity for some may not be what I see. So this piece is entitled, O Freedom. O Freedom, I wanted to savor you. Thought you were the sweetest thing to ever touch my lips until your aftertaste. Until your aftertaste wrapped around my throat like ropes did around my ancestors' necks and now are mine. The stench of the reality that you still don't exist nauseates. Your scent permeates the air like the rot of black bodies hanging from trees. I look at the horizon and there is Lady Liberty drowning in black blood. She's being devoured by clouds, clouds of illusions that brings the confusion and misinterpretations of the word free, distorts the term equality. People connect like links in a chain to build cages and walls for security, but not refuge. While others refuse to see. Oh, freedom. Screams of no justice, no peace deafens me. As I watch my people dance to the Pied Piper's pipe instead of the speak drums of solidarity. They join hands, form circles, and chant to bring each other down and wonder why we can't be complete. We won't be complete because processed food is what we choose to eat mentally. Feed on each other's marrow whilst carrying dried bones. So woke, we can't rest. Wired intellectually, yet fail to identify the distress in our communities. Cries from their bodies rumble like the hunger in our bellies. Yet the more we feed, the more we die. It's the nutritional plan designed for us to live by. It's the recipe given to us so we continue the genocide. It's why we've not overcome. Oh, freedom, the weight that comes with you, we cannot seem to shake. If we run, we're shot down. If we walk, we're knocked down. If we squat, we're brought down. We can't breathe. We're wrong. If we resist, we're too strong and should be put back in shackles. We find ourselves shadow boxing daily with these devils, using Bibles like gloves to make us accept their laws, using the word to bring validity to their cause, wearing black robes to cover their flaws, blinding us in the white lights of justice, taking hoods off because this is America, the great. Oh, freedom. You offer communion, but I refuse to eat from this plate, where hate and deception are the ingredients in your wafer, and your wine is the blood of my kin. Served to me sometimes by my kin to weaken the power within me. I opt out of signing this treaty that states I am only free if I toe the line. I ward off the spirits of negativity that try to imprison my mind. I rebuke the rage because I know your cage will not hold me, and I won't succumb to fear because there is where my faith dies. So screw you, freedom. and your cries, because I only sing redemption songs. And that's that piece.
All right. There you go. Thank you for that piece.
Thank you. So let me just explain that piece, because I know somebody's been listening and saying that doesn't sound like unity. We all had the opportunity of watching the riots of 2020, the cries of Black Lives Matter in 2020, and it was televised, right? The revolution was finally televised. But it was just televised, and for me it was pageantry. And after all was said and done, and they gave us the Black Lives Matter murals and gave us the pretty, you know, they spent the money, so we could never say that the money wasn't spent on racial justice, right, or bringing balance to the injustice. Because we do have the murals. We have all of the pretty Band-Aids that they put on the problem. So we're out here screaming, no justice, no peace. And they're painting murals. So I still comfort myself for the freedom, but I think it starts in the mind. And sometimes that starts with self-determination.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm going to do two pieces on Kuji Kakalia. One is entitled My Awakening, which is where I found and activated my Kuji Kakalia. And the second piece is entitled Lioness Arise, which is an anthem piece that it's a call to my sisters to rise up. Because sometimes, you know, our purr gets deafened out by all the other cries. So I'm giving preempts on both pieces because I'm going to do both pieces at the same time, if that's okay with you.
Hey, you got the folks.
Okay, so Kuji Kakalia is self-determination. And you know, sometimes that self-determination requires you to encourage yourself. You know, you got to tap into you. It requires some selfish time. And while I was tapping into mine, I was awakened. So that's the piece, My Awakening. I started in my roots. Search for my connection to this life, straighten the base of my spine and felt security. No longer abandoned or rejected, I found stability. I found respect. Sacral energy flow from my core as I introspect, I found balance. Release those mental chains and gained independence, I found me. Replenish my passion now with intention, I infused my creativity. Ooh, sensuality. Think, speak, and act positively. I finally learned how to align my energy. That way, I won't have to match or be a part of the batch. I'm in control of my mind. I am a lion and an eagle combined, a dragon released from the fire inside. My spirit no longer has to hide. My soul understands the meaning of being whole, and my heart recognizes I've found my worth and will no longer discount it. I am love. I am a divine blessing from above. I am a gift. Designed with my own, I must use to uplift. I have found my voice. Being a victim is not a choice, so I rescued it from a state of victimhood. I speak power through my words, I speak only what is good. I elevate to a higher level of consciousness. I birth what I manifest, no longer aborting my dreams in my throat, no longer allowing others to try changing the scripts God wrote. I now see with my third eye, what is really meant to be. I see my destiny. I see through me and see myself. I value me. My life is my wealth. I know that now. My energy is charged by the jewels in my crown, and with this knowledge, I am no longer bound to brokenness. I am in tune with my awareness, connected to my divine. My chakras are now aligned. My visions are more refined. My spirit is free. I am awakened. I have met the higher me. Of all goodness and life, I am worthy. My life is an expression of my divine purpose. This is why I no longer fuss. I give. I love. I live. And that's that piece.
All right. Thank you. Woo!
And the other piece I want to do for Kujijakalia, like I said, is entitled Lioness, and I dedicate this to every woman out there that knows her purr. Your purr has been minimized. Your roar has been minimized to a purr. Darkness deafens your light. Your dreams have been stolen by the fears that nurtures your plight. Lioness, arise. Rise like the beautiful sun that greets you from the sky. Let your light shine so bright it burns your enemy's eyes. Show your strength in all that you do. Release the weaknesses of your past. Allow the Creator to use you. Use your jewels filled with wisdom, overflowing knowledge from the crown. Show the world why you should never be held down. You are a lioness. Now rise. Your dreams and purpose deflect the threats of your demise. Traps have been set. There's false premise of promise. Delusions of grandeur all sealed with a Judas kiss. You've been broken. We all have. You've been lied to. So have I. Dwelling deep inside of us is what we need to survive. Dig, discover inner goals. Find what you need in order to free your soul. Let your destiny be your prey. Start elevation every day. You've got to fight for the honor of your pride. Stop licking your wounds and allowing yourself to be pushed aside. The cubs are watching, and so is the rest of your leer. As a natural-born leader, you must devour your fears. Don't become endangered in this jungle we call life. You are royal queens, lioness, arise. And that's that piece.
Man, that's powerful, powerful. So how long have you been doing this, if I may ask? I mean, did something happen in your life to go this direction, or is this something that was in you all the time to be an activist and poet?
All right, let me synopsis this really quick. I've been into poetry since I was a child. Introduced to it by a school, a Barbadian poet by the name of Edward Como Brathwaite, who just passed away in 2020 during the pandemic. So I was introduced to poetry that way. I was born on the island of Barbados, so it's a little 166 square mile of pure inspiration. So that's where it started. I moved here at 17 and started college, and that's where I met spoken word. And it just connected, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my pen. But I give credit to my first poem. My daughter is my first poem. So I think the poet and the activists really plugged into each other when I became a single mother. And I realized that I had to fight regardless to what it is and what the wall that's set before me is. She can't fight for herself. So I had to do it. And it just happened that way. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. That was a fight. So the activism continued instead of staying a victim, because I recognize that after a while, a victim becomes a volunteer, and I didn't want to do that. So I chose to survive, and poetry got me through that, you know, instead of screaming or fallen into a bottle of liquor or taking it out on somebody else. I wrote it out and discovered in a performance that in letting it heal me that way, I was healing someone else. This lady walked up to me and told me that I spoke from her heart when I finished the piece that I had done, and that she was a victim of domestic violence and didn't know how to articulate her feelings to anyone for them to understand. Because it's hard. People see you on the outside and think, oh, she's got a great life, but don't understand that once them doors are closed, there's like a monster back there that nobody really, because he's handsome, he might be handsome or he might be rich or, and vice versa, because women abuse men too. But they see the pretty picture and they don't see that the picture is really a puzzle that's trying to hold itself together. And so I paint that explanation with words. And so I think that's where the word activist comes from, that instead of just sitting down and seeing it, I do something about it, even if it's a poem.
Wow, that's deep, because, you know, even doing civil rights myself, I've done a lot of writing. And I told someone, I said, you know, it makes sense to me now that your message that the Creator has given you is that we want to be able to not allow the power structure or any structure to suppress it, but the power of a pen, power of a pencil. Now we have internet and all this other jazz. But during that time, you know, in the early 80s, I really took that little ballpoint of that pen, and I would write articles. I would write how I see it from my perspective, how the family see it from their perspective, because one of the things that I learned here at 52 is that it's important that how we feel get out. It's important that people hear how I feel. You know, we run to the news stations and we, you know, do press conferences. I've done thousands of press conferences. But at the end of the day, they're going to edit probably the most important piece that you wanted to get out. Because they have that power to do that because it's their media. But we have to understand as a people that we have a message too, and that the point that we want to get out can get out if we just take the pen and take the time to write it out how we see it, and then we can take that information and send it out to millions of people across this world with the technology that we have today that we didn't have in, per se, in the, you know, 70s or early 80s. But now we have the technology to be able to get your message out. So I think what I'm saying to people that's listening around the world is that you're correct. We can sit in our tears for a while, not forever. We can
drown.
We can cry about it. I mean, you know, we can, you know, just sit there in a chair and don't do nothing. But you can do something, because probably what you're going through, there's hundreds and thousands of people going through what you're going through. Not per se you, but I'm just saying in general, issues that they may have that can help bring somebody to them or help enlighten someone else to figure out, hey, you know, they just gave me an answer. I mean, I didn't know how to do this, but because they wrote this article, they said this poem, it makes sense to me. Now, I'm motivated. So you're correct, man. The power of that pen is so deadly. Talk about the power of a gun. Yeah, gun has power. But to really, during a time like right now, that what we're going through as a people, we're still dealing with stuff that our ancestors dealt with 400 years ago. And, you know, they went through it. They did their best to get through it. They left research information. And that's another piece that I understand, that we have to leave information, because one day we're going to leave this earth, like it or not. We're going to die. And we want to make sure that we do our research now and what we're going through now, that we can leave that rich information for those that's going to come after us. So that's a, to me, that's a purpose. I mean, that's one of the principles of Kwanzaa, is purpose. So you may not be out here like me shutting down freeways and shutting down interstates and all that. That you may not be called to do that, and that's okay. But find out what your gifts are. Because your gifts and your talent and your vision and your purpose can help someone else in the village. Now, I talked to you a lot about this village speech, and I hope you would kind of, maybe if you will, because I'm learning that the Caribbean, the islands, have a different mindset than a lot of us here in America. To me, a lot of the islands think independent. Well, in America, to me, I'll get me started talking about America, so I'm going to leave that alone. But can you talk more about the island? You say you're from Barbados. Can you talk to the listening audience more about the islands? And because you said you was born there, you came to the United States, you were 17. So you have both sides of the world is what I'm trying to say. You have the island, Barbados, you came to the United States. What's the difference between the island and United States? If you can kind of talk about that village piece, because I don't believe there's a village. Well, there ain't one here in Fresno. I'm trying to build one, but there ain't one here. But what are we missing here?
Well, okay. On the island, right, it's 166 square miles. And it's not even as big as Brooklyn. So in the island, if your child leaves the house, it's impossible for the neighborhood not to see when your kid left the house. And if or when that child returned home. So now you have cell phones that ping so they can identify where the kid was last time the phone pinged. Our pings were the neighbors. Like, we couldn't act out in the street and then news not get home before I did. So I've just been acting out in the street because my parents believed in the whip. So I don't like pain. But that was the village as far as raising as the village, as, you know, everyone in the village raises the child. If my parents didn't go to church, my neighbor did. My neighbor would come and tell my mom, well, we're taking your daughter to church. And I would become a member of a church that my mom wasn't a part of. You know, in my case, I was a member of three churches, and my dad was dropping me off every Sunday to Sunday school at a Methodist church, Sunday service at a Pentecostal church, and afternoon service at a Cogent vibe, right, every Sunday. But that's because neighbors, and he would pick up other neighbors' kids at the same time and drop them off to church because their parents weren't going to church either. So that's the village mentality that I was raised. No one in my village went hungry. If we knew of a family that didn't have food or didn't have it like that, people dropped groceries off. People brought food. Or we held dinner on Sundays and the whole village was at my house for dinner. And that's the mentality that's the culture I was raised in. So I came here, and honestly, I had my daughter. And as a single mother, people started to form around me to continue to give me what my culture had always given me, which is protection and security that I can go to work and my daughter is safe at home, you know. And it wasn't, they weren't, they're not all blood. The majority of them actually aren't even blood. But at this stage, you could never tell their children or mine that we're not blood related. Because they're being raised in a village. So that's the difference, though, is that whereas in the islands, it was an organic thing that you are a part of the village, you're born into the village. And here, like you said, we didn't build this village. This village formed on its own and magnificently so. So it's a support system. We practice the principles of Kwanzaa on a daily basis. And that gives us balance. I'm not going to say we haven't made mistakes. We've made mistakes, but the rebound is beautiful. And that's what village is about. We need to, not all of us are going to be good. Not all of us are going to have a good mindset, but we can't not love that person. We can't put that person out of the village because they don't match up. I think that's what one of our problems is here in America, is that if I don't match up to you, whether it's financially or mentally, spiritually, then there's an immediate division. And you don't want to hear where I'm coming from because I'm not coming from the same place as you. How can we complete a conversation if that's the fact?
Wow. You know, one of the things that I told my parishioners, a congregation, and community that in 2023, we have to assess before we get into 2023 what actually happened in 2022. And what are some of the things that we need to change to make the village better? There's always room for improvement, right? And it's not a thing about, you know, beating up this person or beating up that person or, you know, you're wrong, I was right, should have listened to me, but you didn't listen to me. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that we need to do an assessment. We need to do an assessment on us and the changes that we need to make. So talk about changes. Here's one of the changes that I'm going to do. The Kwanzaa set that we have set up here in the sanctuary is going to stay there for the whole year.
Keep that energy going.
We'll have information in the back, you know, handouts for those who may come. New faces, Mary. But it's important that I push the Kwanzaa piece 12 months out the year. What we have been doing, and again, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying what has happened in the past, is that we do Kwanzaa now, but when the last day it hits, it's over, we don't revisit it until the end of 2023. So what I've implemented is, one, that the Kwanzaa set is going to stay up here. We're going to do libations every time we have service. You could do it more than doing it. You could do it every day if you want to, right? But here, we're going to do libations every Sunday. There are seven principles. When we get to number seven principle, we're going to start over at principle one. But when we start over at principle one, we're going to have another celebration like we're doing now. So in other words, we're checking in at the end of the seventh principle to find out from the community, how are you doing? What support you need? Is there a project? Is it one of the principles you're trying to push in your life or your family life or in your personal life or whatever? How can we be a support? Because we can't just wait till the end of December to revisit Kwanzaa. See, to me,
it also gives you an opportunity to see if it's work, if the principles are working, and which ones need to be strengthened. So
exactly.
It's like, After the seventh, you get to do an evaluation of how this practice has worked. I like that a
exactly.
lot.
Because one of the things is that we have to do. I'm not saying you all don't do it in Brooklyn or New York. I'm not saying that. All I can talk about is here. Is that we don't hold each other accountable.
No, that's general. Don't think it's just in Fresno. That's general.
Okay, I didn't want to speak out of turn. And what happens is that, you know, we get people with these titles and positions and blah, 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 you know, but we don't want to hold them accountable for what they're supposed to be doing or not doing or should be doing, and we give them a free pass. We can't give them a free pass. I'm out of free passes. I have no more free passes for nobody. Include myself. Because if I'm going to be... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying
No, finish what you were saying.
No, I was just saying that we have to build a support piece, a foundation support piece within, I'm going to use again, the village. Because one thing you had told me one time, you said, you know, Harris, how did you say it? You said the village, the people in the village.
The song?
No, I'm trying to remember how you said that. You were talking about the village, and you said the people that's in the village is accountable for the children and for the mothers and for, you know. I forget how you put
we're accountable to each other. So if one of my nephews is failing in school, it's not just the responsibility of my nephew, but as well his cousins are responsible. If one of them is strong in the subject, their responsibility is to reach out to him and offer their assistance. And likewise with the adults. Because if one fails, all fail. It's like there's an African saying that says a chain is as strong as its weakest link. And if you review that statement, if the weakest of us falls, all of us fall. Because if the weak link breaks, the whole bracelet falls off. Everybody's lost. So we have to reinforce that weak link to make sure that we're strong as a collective. That's where the responsibility comes in.
I like that. I like that. I like that.
It actually, because our next principle is Ujamaa, which is collective work and responsibility. And as I was going through my set and, you know, looking for pieces for today, I found this piece. And while I was reading through the piece, it actually brought you to mind. right? And the collective work and responsibility that you've taken on your shoulders. And in our conversations, I hear where your energy is labored because it is a heavy load to carry by yourself. And you said earlier in the conversation about how the media edits our words, but the community edits our work, right? So you're literally feeding the community, but people just see you planting potatoes. But you're feeding the part of the community that the people that say you're just planting potatoes don't even see. So that's the part of the work and responsibility of a village. So I want to pay homage to you in this piece that doesn't have a name, but it's also to every Black man that stands on his post. The aesthetics of a Black man does not define him. He's Black and tall does not make him a threat. He's strong and fast does not make him a criminal. He's raised by a single Black mother does not know his father is not a sentence. He never finished school or could not afford college does not mean all is lost or that losing him isn't at a cost. His ashy skin and coarse hands does not make him rough. Him growing up in the hood does not make him tough. He is everything, but is still not enough to be left alone to breathe. His agility does not mean he steals. His defense is not just a mechanism. It's his skin. Part of the elixir in his melanin, a pillar in his upbringing, a curse passed down through generations written by archaic systems, conjured by architects who are naturally demons, casted by oppressive religion, and read by shepherds to their sheep. This is why others think he's asleep when he points to himself and says, I know God. He believes in himself, so they call him a fraud. Taking his life is not a cause. It's a calling, for if he activates his power, there would be a falling of empires, government, and feelings. He's not hurt because he doesn't express his feelings. He speaks when it's time. His words are his wisdom. His charm is his rhyme. He's not fighting because he's fallen. He fights to avoid the fall. The potholes and detours along his path makes it harder to respond to the call. There are bars set to bring him down. So he uses every jewel that sits in his crown to guide him. That's why we call him King. Because he's in tune with the ancestors. We know he's plugged in. That's why he takes charge. Some think his ego is large or he does too much. But that's just his confidence. He knows the battle is not his, that he's a vessel being used at God's convenience, chosen to stand on his pulse. And we salute you.
Wow, that's deep. Whoa.
You know, it's a matter of giving flowers while you're still here, because like you guys discussed last night about the proclamations, they come after death. Who needs to hear it? I mean, you can't hear it after death. And the ones that are left that loved you and loved your work, that's not comforting. Because what if it's a heart attack and it's from you standing out on the street screaming so it's loud enough for everybody to hear you, but it's just your one voice? Like I mentioned the song to you before, the song, you're singing the song by yourself and it sounds lovely and we hear you. But when the choir joins in, when you're backed by an energy that's singing the same note, that's singing the same song, delivering the same message in different notes, then more people hear that song and it has a greater impact when the choir joins in. And I think that's what all our community needs. We need to stop with this solo act. Everybody wants to have a solo part. join in and let the choir, you know, like, let's really sing this song, this freedom song that everybody talks about, this We Shall Overcome that everybody talks about. Let's work this song out and stop singing it in different, I don't know, man. I'm sick of these songs. Let me not rant on, because you know I can rant.
So two things I want to bring to your attention. We're about at the end of our show. My cousin just wrote something. He says, yes, salute your cousin for your great works and love for your community. All right, cousin. Thank you. Thank you so much. We give honor to you. Salute you. So in other words, we got to start talking about it and being about it. Okay. So I'm writing things down. Number one, I'm looking at accountability. Too much singing. Too many solos. Malcolm said, too much singing and not enough swinging. Too many solos. So I'm going to make a call to action here, just from my perspective. And again, I want to be able to do this check-in at the seventh month of Kwanzaa, the seventh principle. I'm saying 7 months, because each month we're going to switch to the first. And check in and kind of see where we are as a community. One of the things that I'm going to be pushing, you know that I'm a farmer, founder of Freedom School, teach kids how to farm and get them into college. Black historical colleges, that's where they want to go. My son is here. He graduates in May. He was one of the founders of the Freedom School, so we know it worked. The motto of Freedom School works. We have a half an acre of land. Myself and some of the board members and, community folk have been working this land. Now, I've acquired more responsibility taking over this ministry. And I'm going to make a call out to our community. So I think you said earlier, the next principle is what now?
The next principle is unity. Oh, no, sorry, corporate economics. Ujima. Oh.
Right, corporate economics, okay. So I'm going to ask the community, out of 7 days, can they donate 2 hours to come to this piece of land?
That's the previous collective work on responsibility, Ujima.
Okay, that we come together on this piece of land. And we look at this piece. So now I'm gonna go in a psychic way now. We're gonna look at this piece of land as our village. I know we don't live there. I know, it's just a piece of land that has water, whatever. But let's look at this piece of land as if we lived around this half acre. And that we know we have to feed our children, feed our women, feed our men. Let's come together under the principles of Kwanzaa 2023 for the entire year. And let's work this land to grow food for us and our community. I'm asking for 2 hours, just 2 hours out of 7 days, for you to donate time to the village. And the village is our community. I'm going to see what type of response I get.
Look, that kind of call is the kind that then leads to that corporate economics. That's the following principle. I'm listening to you, and I'm like, oh my gosh! It's like he read my set.
I mean, it's to me, it's the right timing, because we have to understand. I mean, right here in our courtyard here at our ministry here, don't call us a church no more. I call it more of a ministry or community center or whatever. I ain't into that church word no more. Now, We have collard greens growing right now, mustard greens, broccoli, turnips, green cabbage, and purple cabbage right now growing not even 20 feet from them inside the building. We have to understand as a people that we have to invest in us. Dr. Kennedy had a shirt that said, do for self or be a slave. Now, when I tell people that when you go to the grocery store, I want you to look at that as a morgue. Take your little grocery shopping basket and just put it as a little coffin, a little hood on it. That's the grocery basket. And you're going around the store, and you're putting food inside this little coffin with wheels on it, food that you don't even know where in the hell it came from. But you so trusted of a country that has already abused black people for 400 years and still abusing us. Because we don't have the discipline. We don't have the discipline to understand that do for ourselves or be a slave. Because that's how we think now as like slaves. I was going to put cement all in here where the garden is. And an ancestor said, don't do that. Don't do that. Because where can you take the babies to teach them how to work the soil? And when the ancestor spoke to me, I didn't put cement all right there. So you at the grocery store now, pushing your little coffin with wheels on it, four wheels on it, and you're grabbing some corn and a goddamn can of corn that's been sitting in the warehouse for half a year. Some peas. Then you go over to the vegetables and you go over there and all that stuff got pesticides on it, but you throwing it in your little coffin basket, you know, and you pushing it around and you getting over there, you're gonna get you some strawberries and I understand your intent is good, right? But you're not doing it for yourself. You're allowing other people to feed you. If I was to ask you the question, where did that watermelon come from? You couldn't even tell me. But if you were to ask the Freedom School, where did that watermelon come from? We can take you to the location where we planted the seed, and you will see that it's organic. But then we wonder why I'm catching cancer, why I'm catching this, hell, you've been out at the mortuary store down there putting all that poison food in your little coffin basket. And then you roll around from there, you go over to the meat department, where it has all this food coloring on it. And you just smiling and you just putting all that meat in your basket. And if I was to ask you the question, where did that come from? Who fed it? I mean, I'm just asking some legit, it's not a trick question. I'm just asking, do you know who was the owner of that piece of meat? Do you know what they fed that animal? Do you know if they abused that animal? And you got a whole shopping cart full of meat and don't even know where it comes from. And then you keep pushing that little coffin basket down to the milk department. Well, hell, milk wasn't supposed to be meant for humans in the first goddamn place. But because the scripture says my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You drink that pus milk that was meant for calves, but this world has tricked your mind to think, oh, I'm supposed to put this pus milk in some cereal. See, we got to do better than what we do. And I'm just telling the listening audience, and I didn't mean to go off track and all that. I get passionate. I can go from 0 to 10 in a second.
No, that's not off track at all.
my point is that Fresno Freedom School has and our board, people who support us, been with us, still support us. We have taken the bull by the horns and said, we gonna do for self, but we not gonna be your slave. See, that's the difference with us. And it's a mindset. It's a mindset that I can, we can go out here right now and make us a salad and don't even have to go to the mortuary store down the street called Food Max or Food Less or Winco or Costco or whatever they call, Walmart, whatever they call. Right, not even 10 feet from where I'm sitting, we can make us a meal right here, right now. But our people don't understand that we have to be disciplined and say, you know what, Harris, I hear what you're saying. Listen, you got me for 2 hours. You got me for 3 hours once a week. Tell me when to show up. Now we're building community. Now we're eating healthy. Now we're eating organic. Now we can take our children and our babies and our nephews and our nieces out in the land and let them walk through the roads and how to pick. And do you know I got a propane tank in there with two eyes on it? Do you know that we could pick that food right there and cook it on the spot? So Kwanzaa has some strong principles is what I'm saying. And your poetry, what you gave to the, I mean, that last one you just wrote, I felt it was a role for me. I ain't going to say nothing. But I'm just saying, it seemed like because I felt what you were saying, and it's like, yes, I feel a heavy burden on my shoulder. And I shouldn't have to carry this all this on myself because there's many people in the village. And if there's people in the village, we're all responsible, not just me. God might have given me the knowledge of how to drive the tractors and pass that knowledge down to our children and make the roads and have our children, you know, put the seeds in and how to put the irrigation line in and how to do the maintenance, how to organic spray and how to harvest. And, you know, our women folks, we teach them how to cook. Everybody has a seat at the table. But keep going down to the funeral home stores and keep eating their food and see how long you live. I'm not eating their food. Listen, I'm going to say that. I'm going to give you the last word. My front yard is full of onions, sweet potatoes, watermelons, tomatoes, okra, eggplants, sunflower seeds, green bell pepper, red bell pepper, green bell pepper, all in my front yard in my home. That's self-determination. But our Asian community, they come from the other side of wherever they come from. When you look at their houses or where they live, they done took out all their grass and they got food out there growing. But America teach us we want a nice green yard, like we some horses or cows or something that can eat grass. Anyway, my sister, we gonna give you the last words. I'm going to be quiet because I can go on and on with this, but we just want to thank you and all those listeners that that tune in today. We have a lot of listeners on Facebook Live. We want to thank you as well. Come over to 806 Collins this Friday. We'll be having a round circle talk discussion about Kwanzaa. Saturday's going to be the big dance fashion show. A lot of people going to be here. Soul Train dancing. I'm going to do the Fred Sanford coming down the middle. We're just going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun. But go ahead, my sister. I'm going to give you the last words before we shut down.
All right. So I guess the last piece is going to speak. It's a call to community, period. I hope that your community hears on your behalf. It's entitled Join Hands With Me. Join hands with me. Let's walk these streets together as a testimony that love conquers hate, Understanding resolves debates, and respect requires its return. Let's put our words into action. Call for justice and peace. Work alongside the police and find ways to help protect each other. Demonstrate what it means to love ourselves as we do our brothers and create real community. Come, join hands with me. Let's walk these streets together so we can discover resolution and activate a plan. Unpack all beliefs so in unity we can stand. Reform the conversation. See, I'm no mathematician, but I did the calculation. And by my evaluation, division plus subtraction multiplied by poverty does not result in equality, though there is need for correction that leads to equity. Feel me? Come on. Join hands with me. Let's walk these streets together looking for proof that our youth are not lost. Identify what's missing, then replace it at all costs, like the mom-and-pop shops that were proof of generational wealth and the youth empowerment programs that strengthen their mental health, educational and vocational programs that actually put them on their path. Support teachers and parents. Stop doing that political dance. Let's give them a chance to grow. Come on. Let's go. Join hands with me. Let's walk these streets together and discover what connects you to me. Find food. Tell spiritual and cultural stories that show our similarities. Let's also discuss the differences and dispel the myths. Let's learn from each other in order to know who we are dealing with. Let's start there so we can understand we shouldn't have to fear each other. You don't have to look like me to be my brother, my neighbor, or my friend. Let's bring all this madness to an end. Change the gun laws. It's not that hard to comprehend. If we starve the beast, it dies. Let's go. Join hands with me. Let's walk these streets together as a pledge to our Creator, our families, and those families that cry. Or friends and neighbors, let's vow to one another. These bad habits will no longer be harbored. End the violence, end DV, end child abuse, end police brutality, end sex trafficking and those behind the drive, end classism, racism, and erase red lines, end discrimination, end homelessness, end hunger, and fear, fix the mental health crisis, and hate. This does not have to be our fate. Let's love, let's help, let's not judge, let's not assume, let's correct, let's admit, let's unite. It's the only way we can end this fight, so join hands with me. Let's walk these streets together in the spirit of unity. And let everyone know we are here. And that's that piece. Thank you.
There you have it. There you have it. There you have it. I knew she was going to come strong. She was going to come hard. I knew she wasn't going to be shooting no blanks, but she shot some hollow points today. And, man, it went in small and took a big chunk out. You hear me? And we just thank her for I'm gonna try to see. I know we got a full program for Saturday, but, you know, don't nobody tell us when to come in and when to go. So that's power we have to be independent. And don't know your schedule for Saturday, but if there's a way that we can plug in to maybe do one of your pieces during our program, we can chime in like we're doing now and be able to, you know, like I said, if you have time, if don't worry about it. But I just feel it's important that people feel your spirit, your heart, what you have put into all of this. Because every piece that you said today really resonated with me, especially that the one before this one. And one of the other things I want to say before I said you know, Black Baptist preachers always talk about in my conclusion, and they say that about five times. They still talking, but this is the last time in my conclusion. In my conclusion, my members be looking at the watch. All right, Pastor, come on, we hungry. Time to go. But in my conclusion, we have to change the way we do business in 2023. We just have to, as a people. And I'm gonna do my best, my part, to bring some men together, some men, M-E-N, men with some coronas. Okay, no disrespect to our men, but some men with some coronas. All right, some testicles. Okay. That's ready to do and build our village, you know? And there's a few brothers here in Fresno, I know, but there should be more than what I'm seeing. But, you know, we're going to roll with what we have. We're going to work with what we got and let the Creator bless that, you know, bless that. And our intentions are good because we have to understand that we have to make duplicates of ourselves and even better than us, you know, to fight this good fight. Because one day I'm going to be a senior. One day I'm not going to be able to march. One day I'm not going to be able to shut down freeways. You know, Dr. Kennedy said last night, I might be in a position where someone had to be changing my diaper. But at least I know that I did all that I could. At least I know I put something in the heads of these children. To have self-respect, to have discipline, to have vision for our community. And I believe that's what the ancestors have did for us that came before us. King, Malcolm, Black Panther Party, you know, Stokely Carmichael, the list goes on, Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. And then if our people can build Black Wall Street in 1920, build Black Wall Street without Facebook, without the internet, without Instagram, without tablets, without laptops, if they could build that, and we got all this stuff here today, I ain't gonna say no more.
I have a theory that if we stop looking at people's weaknesses and start working on their strengths, then it's all gonna work out. Right? Some people, we say, oh, they can't do it because they don't speak well enough. And put them to do something that you know they can do well, even if that's just carrying a box. But my thing with the energy is that every drop in the bucket fills the bucket. People keep focusing on the one drop. But every drop of energy that's placed in this bucket is going to fill this bucket. When we explode, it's going to be a forever flow. So even if it is just a handful of men right now, you build it. You build it and they will come. That's in some movie. My dad used to watch that movie, whatever it was, and he pushed that message to me. You build it, they will come. So I encourage you to continue building it because they're coming. And we're seeing you. We're seeing what the Freedom School is doing. Just continue to do it. Be encouraged and stay encouraged.
All right, there you have it. We'll be broadcasting tomorrow with another principal. We thank our sister all the way from Brooklyn, New York. You hear me? On the other side of the world, okay? And, you know, we came in with Bob Marley. We're going to end with Bob Marley. And he always just says, you know, just one love. Just one love. Let's get together and be Lord.
and I will feel alright.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get together and feel alright.
Oh, 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 oh.
Let them have back all this dirty rhythm. One love. Every one question I'd really love to ask. Or go, who plays the inner, who has heard all mankind, just a baby, so believe me.
One love.
What about a one?
One love.
What about a
let's get together and feel all right.
As it was in the beginning.
One love.
Oh, I see it, yeah.
One love.
All right.
It's thanks and thanks to the Lord.
Let's get together and feel alright.
One more
thing. Let's get together to fight this
only on a giddy-on. One love.
When the man comes, there will be no doom.
One love.
As we can't know, we can't say broke.